Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of being in the body of Christ. And now that Tom and Carol are engaged, we're really complete in Jesus' name. So, Father, we ask you, bless the message today. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We brought out the last time I spoke was that money affects fellowship, not relationship. Relationship is where we're actually brought into the body of Christ. Relationship is determined from God's part, on God's part. In other words, we're not born into the kingdom unless God brings us into the kingdom. But money really hinders people's fellowship if it's not done according to the Word of God. And most of us came into the kingdom of God, and really, we didn't really give the first fruits of our income until we actually had discovered that God requires the first fruits. And so as a result of that, we pay according to the first fruits. But some people, when they come into the kingdom of God, they come into the kingdom of God in such that they don't have the ability to pay the full tithe and the offering because they've overcommitted themselves while they were in the world. And most of us don't realize that when people come into the kingdom of God and you have people delivering doctrine that makes God more concerned about money than people's souls, then they've got something wrong with their wisdom flowing into the body of Christ. God is very gracious with people when they come into the kingdom of God. How many of you know that many of us come into the kingdom of God? We love the Lord now more today than we ever have because of the grace that He extended us when we first came into the kingdom of God. Amen? And sure, as we grow and we become more responsible for what we're to do, yes, God really begins to deal personally with us, with our hearts, and makes us to, well, doesn't make us, but He changes our heart in such a way that we become more committed in what we know to do as His perfect will. One thing you've got to understand about the tithe and the offering. The tithe and the offering was established through the Abrahamic covenant and simply predicated on the fact that God had approached Abraham and said He was going to make him a father of many nations. And then God told Abraham how much He was going to bless them and everything. And so they got this fellowship going. And as a result of it, they cut this covenant. And by the way, Abraham, the only part that he played in the covenant was the fact that he committed himself to his part of seeing to it that the ministry or the priesthood under Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ, would be taken care of in the future. But it was pre-incarnate Christ that walked between those animals that were divided up. He was the one that actually gave the oath to that covenant because man was not able to keep his part. So God, in the Abrahamic covenant, consummated it by His own voice, His own commitment, His own word. And you find that in Hebrews. And as a result of that, then later on, Abraham become part of the covenant in the areas, seeing to it that one-tenth of his income would go to the priesthood that would signify being under the pre-incarnate Christ. Now, all of us know that from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there was a change. The Old Testament was performance. The New Testament is a heart issue. How many know that? He writes the law upon the tablets of men's heart. Or we could say this, that the righteousness of the law is performed on the tablets of our heart. Praise God. And so our heart has to be in what God brings the cause and effect into our heart and life. Now, where people get a little concerned is most of the teaching that we have concerning the Word of God comes from the viewpoint of performance. If you don't perform, then you're in trouble with God. It's just infiltered in pretty near every message that you ever hear. Now, there's an exception to the rule because there are good ministers out there preaching the good Word of God. But one thing that I asked the Lord to do to help me you know, in his call on my life to help me. If he called me very early in life as an evangelist, but later on he began to reveal to me he wanted me to be a teacher in the body of Christ. Well, my understanding from James chapter 3, verse 1, that you better really realize how important it is if you're called to teach the body of Christ. He says, because you'll incur a greater judgment. And so, how many of you remember when Solomon prayed and said, God, I don't want wealth or riches or anything, but he says, I just want the wisdom it'll take to you know, lead and guide your wonderful, great people. And so, that touched my heart. And so, when God confirmed to me that I was to pastor, one of the things I really started seeking God for was the understanding that the mind of the early apostles, the ones that laid the foundation for church, that mind would be in me to deliver to your people. Because you see, you belong to God. You don't belong to me. You belong to the Lord. But the responsibility I have is to make connection with the Spirit of God so that I would watch over what you think in your soul. Because that's Hebrews chapter 13. It says that we are to give an account for what we actually put in the souls of men. And so when I stand before the Lord, see, I'm going to have to give an account what I taught you. And so many times as you grow up in life as a believer, many times you're challenged to compromise politically. And I've always given that place up. Thank God for that. Because I'll never stand before the Lord and have to give an account why I taught somebody through peer pressure. I want to teach things because the Spirit of God gave me confirmation of what truth was. Amen. And so one of the areas that helped me to understand was when I looked at these principles and saw how God's wisdom came to me, then God spoke to me one day and said, those are the same principles that you'll understand about money and prosperity. It's the same principles. And so today, most of our teaching on money is that God's more concerned about money than the issue of a soul. Matter of fact, there's teaching going on now that they're actually saying you've got to sow in order to reap. Well, there is a law of sowing and reaping. But listen, it's not predicated on the structure of give me to get, because that's where mankind has jumped over and taken that position. I've seen prosperity teachers literally call themselves prophets and demand a certain amount of money out of people because they better obey the prophet to carry their ministry, and that's pride in the utmost. I don't agree with that kind of teaching. Then I've had people say that if you would commit to certain amounts of dollars, your loved ones would get saved, or your friends would be healed, or your life would turn around. And listen, God has not designed His Word to be used from a monetary system to make your life economically structured correctly. God is not in that kind of teaching, people. I'm going to tell you that right now. That is garbage. It's trash. It belongs in the garbage bin. God has a way of expressing His wisdom to the body of Christ, and you have to funnel everything through the way wisdom comes. And see, that's where people get so fouled up, is they don't know how the wisdom of God comes to mankind. I'm going to tell you something. When this generation or this dispensation is finished, I'm going to tell you something. When the administration changed, I would not go on to go back to the time period of great tribulation and great tribulation. And it'll be a whole different ball game. But we are in the dispensation of grace. And that's a powerful dispensation, people. You know what? We're in this dispensation. It's so close to us. We don't really value the preciousness of something until it's removed from us. Just natural life will tell you that. How many of you have been in a certain place and it was a place of peace and victory and wealth and you were there, and then all of a sudden through life circumstances you're jerked from it, and then you're put into a whole different place, and then you look back at that time when you had it so good and you never appreciated it like when you didn't have it anymore. Amen. And so a lot of us have been there, a lot of us have been through that stuff. But you know what helps stabilizes our life is the fact that whether we're in a wonderful place with the Lord or we're in straits or circumstances that are not favorable, I got news for you. The wisdom of God keeps you in both realms. It stabilizes your life and causes you to be a success. And so, I'll never forget, it's been quite a few years now. I usually when I start breaking the mind of a book or a subject or theme, I'll spend hours praying in tongues over it and just reading it. Just reading my Bible and reading those areas. I put a lot of time into it and I won't teach it until it comes alive in my heart. Thank God I always live what I know. That was a lie. That came right out of my mouth. But I'll never forget. It was a little over 2 years, two and a half, maybe three, if I can remember. I started reading the book of James. And what I do is when I want to know the mind of the book, and you know what causes me to want to know the mind of a book? Because of all the teaching that is so controversial about a book. And James, if you go and study, what do you call them? Reference materials and commentaries and all. That book has been thrown from pillar to post. And so one day I said, Lord, I want to know the mind of the book and I want to know it. I want to know it by the Holy Ghost. And I don't want to know it by what other people are saying about it, or it's just too fragmented and disjointed and so contradictive. And because there's a lot of statements in the book of James, it is contradictory to other passages in the Bible. But I've learned that it's never contradictory. It's never contradictory. You just got to know what the mind of the Spirit is. So I prayed quite a few hours in the Holy Ghost. And I don't know how many hours, but it was about 2 years, almost 3 years, praying in the Holy Ghost and just reading the book of James. That was a part of my prayer time. Boy, people, when they find it hard to things to pray for, I'll tell you what, just get constructive and you'll have a lot to pray for and not enough time. And so I'd always set my time aside to read the book of James. Of course, the book was so small, I just read it all the way through every time. And boy, the mind of the flesh gets tired of something. But you just got to keep reading it anyway. And I've learned that the carnal mind gets tired of something. The spiritual mind never does. The spiritual mind will grab something when you go back over it. And so through this process of 2.5 years, the Spirit would keep grabbing verses and start putting. Sue just got a puzzle. And 759 parts to that puzzle. I've never bothered with putting puzzles together. And all these little parts. And then I don't even know how little Kylie Ray got what puzzle parts she's got, because when you're looking at all them puzzle parts all over the table, nothing seems to work. But when you start putting, snapping those puzzle parts together, it starts forming a picture. Well, that's how the Holy Spirit will do with you when you keep reading a book. And even though it looks so puzzling and so many parts to it, you think you get it, then you don't. But then all of a sudden, this picture comes together so beautifully about what the book is really saying. And you go, wow, I never, ever saw that. But you know what? What he'll do is you keep reading this book. And I read the book of James for about, must have been a year and a half into it. And finally, one day in the park as I'm walking along, I got the mind of the book. It just went poof down inside me. Thump. And I knew what the mind of the book was. The mind of the book was for a converted Jew. A converted Jew. That was the first book written in the New Testament. These Jews did not have no understanding of the Gentiles to be grafted in yet. But James, the half-brother of Jesus, was literally ahead of that church. And he was giving the converted Jew an instruction about the influence that money took back into the church. When that mind hit me on that road, I could not believe it. And one of the reasons why I couldn't believe that that was the mind of the book or not, because all the scriptures were just like those little puzzle parts. how in the world am I going to get these scriptures to flow together with that mind? How many of you know what I'm talking about? How can I do that? I said, Lord, how can I do that? I says, I know how I can do it, Lord. I'm just, now that I've got the mind of the book, I will keep to the subject just like I did the book of 1 John. When I got the mind of the book of 1 John, then the puzzles of all those verses came together so beautifully. The book of 1 John was one of the most confusing books on planet Earth because it was the most repetitive of words that I've ever found in any other book. You go in there. He that lived, liveth or living, dwelleth or dwelling. You know, always this repetitive words that were constant. And now I know why. Because it all came together in a perfect picture. Many people say they understand the book of 1 John, but their fruits don't show it. And anyway, when I saw the mind of that book, it just kind of caught me off guard. Matter of fact, I had a raven attack me right when I got the revelation. Can you believe that? A raven. I'm walking along and I'm just mesmerized. And all of a sudden, I see these people getting out of the car looking at me and what's wrong? This raven flapping his wings all over me. Well, I remember those crows one time I was getting a revelation out in park. I had crows attack me. I says, hey, they're supposed to feed me, not kill me. But when I got that book, I said, now, God, that is overwhelming. How do all these verses fit that? So it was like I had this puzzle with all the little pieces that all fit together. And God says, keep reading. And he says, when you come across something, he says, I'll snatch it. And I'll snatch it here. So I can see you just going through all the little puzzle parts, you know, and picking out and maybe, oh, this matches. Click. You know what I mean? And so I'm going along and I keep praying. And I get another 6-7 months down the road, and I share a lot of it with John, and I say, John, I think this is what this is. And John said, boy, that bears witness with me. I love him when he does that to me. And so all of a sudden, one day, I've got it, all these pieces all snapping together, and all of a sudden, you have less pieces to deal with, means it's easier then to snap the picture together. And man, when that whole book came alive, oh my gosh. And they all work. They all fit. Well, with the understanding that the book of James, the mind of the book, is the influence of money that had gotten back into the converted church at that time, made up of Jews. And as a result of that, we find certain passages that now have really tremendous meaning. One of the things I've done, like in Proverbs, I did it with the book of James, every verse that pertained to the issue of money, I shaded it in green. So that when I look at the book of James, go to it, might as well go to it right now. In the book of James, every place in my Bible where the verses are literally directed to money itself, I highlighted them in green as I went through it. And then I saw it. I stood back and I saw how all the verses fitted together. It's incredible. It's incredible. Most people seem to think that when God put the Bible together, He put it together expositorily, what I mean by just a bunch of scriptures. But God put the Bible together in subjects, themes, and letter form, not scriptures and verses. Scripture and verses help us for study, but really the Bible was put together in letter form. And it meant to complete a subject or a theme when it's talking about it. And so when I went into the book of James, my little thinking about how the wisdom of God comes. Remember, I started the message out this morning about the wisdom of God and how it comes. Through what channels does the wisdom of God come through? When I got the mind of the book of James on the subject of the influence that had gotten into the church, then it dawned on me right in the book of James in chapter 3, you find the channels through which wisdom comes from. the very channels that I use to interpret the Word of God through. Now, let me ask you something. Is mammon, world currency, the monetary system, is that of the kingdom of God or is that of the kingdom of this world? It's what now? It's the kingdom of what? It's the kingdom of what? It's the kingdom of what? It is the kingdom of this world. So, if you want to know how to operate in the currency of the kingdom of this world, I got news for you. You're going to need the mind of God to accomplish that. You want to know why? Because the kingdom of this world operates off the system of this world which Satan owns. Voila. And it's very interesting how when you hear certain ministers preach on money, how they themselves have not been delivered to understand how the wisdom of God comes for mankind, even with the issue of money. How many like money? How many don't want to admit they like money? How many of you lust for money? I found out you can like money without lusting for it. Hallelujah. Because one thing that God wants you to do is He wants you to have vision for things. The bottom line is God wants you to have vision. But what God does is He'll increase your vision for something if He has more of your heart. The more He has your heart, the more He'll increase your vision. Beautiful. It's gorgeous. So, when I was studying Proverbs and going through all the places, I did the same thing in Proverbs. Every place that it talked about money or connected to money, I painted it green. I highlighted it green. Finally dawned on me about wisdom. Wisdom, according to Proverbs, is called the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. But did you know that just because you have the wisdom of God doesn't mean it'll work for you? Unless you know why the wisdom of God was given to you. It's one thing to know. You know, how many of you ever heard that? I don't understand, but he was born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, preached salvation, loved God's people, and now he's into Unitarianism, and he doesn't believe in that devil, and then everybody says, how did that happen? How did this minister who was connected to God now is so disconnected with God? But he didn't have the understanding to go with it. Because you will never find in the book of Proverbs where wisdom is ever behind understanding. Understanding follows wisdom. So wisdom is the principal thing, and understanding is the vitalness to the wisdom. It tells you why the wisdom is important. It shows you why it's so important. Because understanding will stabilize wisdom. It'll give you an understanding that will cause it to stabilize in your heart. Matter of fact, it says understanding, not wisdom, but understanding will establish your heart once you've gotten wisdom. Pay attention to what I'm saying. So, when I understood that, and I went to James chapter 3, and I knew that the mind of the book was the writer himself, James, was bringing to correction to the wealthy and the impoverished in the church on how these two parts of society could dwell together with the right mind of God. That was Christianity. You got to remember, when it was established, Christianity did something that no other did. And that brought the poor and the wealthy together in one community, one social community. And therefore the wisdom of God and the understanding that had to get into that community so that both parties could dwell together in harmony. And so, James, the writer, gets down real clear with what happened to the wealthy in the church at that time. And the wealthy in the church were the only ones allowed to teach the Word of God. Because at the time the church began, it was in the mind of people that the only one qualified to do any communicating about the kingdom of God was those that had money. Because money was a sign that you were prospering from God. But you had the poor with you. So where does that put the poor? Well, that's why James started right out and he talked about the poor. And he says, when you fall into this kind of temptation, he says, let it be a fact that your faith has to exercise an endurance because God is going to exalt you in due time, take you out of poverty and put you into the place where you belong financially. And he's going to take the pride from the wealthy and bring him down to an equality with the poverty. And so they both dwell together. He wasn't against the rich and he wasn't against the poor. He was against those who were refusing the proper wisdom or insight to balance the church out like it's supposed to be. God don't like broke Christians that can't pay their bills and keep their word. God hates that. So God's wisdom wants to get into your heart so that you can begin to have credibility where you are financially. Now, when I was reading this book, and I understood that the book talked about the writer correcting the church, the poor and the rich, correcting them. When he gets to chapter 3, it was very interesting. He says in verse 1, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Now, remember, when you get the mind of a book, you've got to carry each verse into that theme, coming right along. Well, in how many remember in chapter 1 we brought out that every good gift and every perfect gift from above comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there are no variation or shadow turning. That's a time dial. That's a time dial. He said every good gift, dosis, and every perfect gift, dorema, is from above. And we brought out the fact that when he said dosis, every good gift, dosis, means the intent of his giving. When he gives you a gift, there's an intention behind the gift he's giving you. How many of you have ever had a blessing from God all of a sudden? Go, woo! Well, I was believing for that. You know why you got it? Because you make a commitment to God what you're going to do with that gift once you've got it. Then guess what? When he gives you the gift, you follow through with the what? With the reason that the gift came. So that verse is very interesting because he says, when God gives you something, the reason that he intended on giving it to you because of dorema, perfect gift, meaning he gave you that gift knowing in the intention of him giving it to you, you would bless, be blessing someone with it. He knew the outcome of that blessing that you got. That's what dorema means, the outcome of the intent of the giving to begin with. See, there's a lot of us that are self-deceived in our heart with money. You'll find self-deceived people because every time they open their mouth and it comes out, and I've done this with myself, I'm not Mr. Perfect here. Every time I'd open my mouth, God would clear his throat, meaning, you're not poor, you're not broke. You see, God wants you to watch what you say with your words so he can keep going on your behalf in the direction you need to go. He doesn't need you to turn around and shut him down in moving forward with you financially. And a lot of people, because they don't see it, say, and because they make bad decisions or wrong direction, and then they turn around and say, I'm poor, I'm broke, I don't have any means. I wish I could find that stuff in Scripture. That when you get broke, confess it. If you don't have any money, tell everybody you don't have any money. Boy, we're so stupid. You know what? John, you said it well. He raised sheep the first part of his young life. He says they're the dumbest animals on planet Earth. God calls us sheep. So in James chapter 3, really what he's doing, he's rebuking the wealthy. He says, if you're going to teach the body of Christ, he says, where is your wisdom coming from? Where is your wisdom coming from? I've listened to someone tell, and they act like they're prophets, and they act like they know so much about money. And when they open their mouth, I hear, because I know how God's wisdom comes to us. And I funnel all revelation through that wisdom in how it comes to us. And then I can discern, man, you ain't going to sit there and tell me the reason you're not getting healed is because you ain't been doing nothing with your money. False prophet! Liar! Yes, Lord. Oh, yeah. You and you. 1500 bucks a piece. Get it up here. Boy, that's craziness. So he gets on these guys in chapter 3. And here's what he says about them. He says in verse 11, he says, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring can yield both salt water and fresh. I'm going to tell you, what I had learned about how the wisdom of God comes, I know now how to discern when a guy opens his mouth and he's got fresh water and bitter water coming out of it. I don't have nothing to do with that man's inside. So, he says this, very interesting. Who is wise and understanding among you? Verse 13 of James 3. Let him show by good conduct. In other words, are you a fig tree or are you a thorn bush? He says, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Meaning you can't sit there and teach the body of Christ with your tongue and because that steers a whole man's whole life. He used a horse as an example. You bridle a horse and you steer his whole life. You steer the body of Christ with words. And these ministers had the lust of money in their heart and they were the wisdom to the church. And James wasn't going to put up with that. And so he gives us this chapter and he clarifies how wisdom comes. And so he comes down, who is wise among you? Let him show good conduct by his works done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Self-seeking means rivalry. It literally means a person in competition with others or another person. Selfish ambition. People that are possessed with money have selfish ambition. They don't have the ambition to bless somebody's life with it. They have it for themselves, the purpose of themselves. That's in their thinking all the time. Now notice this. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envying and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. But, now we're coming down to the channels through which wisdom comes through. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. First pure. then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And people, the message you hear today doesn't have any of them fruit in it. None of those channels in it. So he lists here 8 channels through which the wisdom of God comes through when it speaks to you. I have as much honor for you that can't tithe or give an offering as I do the ones who do tithe and give an offering. As long as you both do it from your heart and you're headed for that fullness of what you're asked to do. That's why I don't know my people after they're giving in this church. I got Carol as my witness. And so he gives 8 channels through which God's wisdom comes through. Number 1, pure. It means when his wisdom comes, it has a way of removing a defilement or the impurities in a person's life. It cleanses a person's life up. It's genuine and it has a freedom from it. That's what pure wisdom comes for. It does that. It cleans your life up. It's hagias. It means it makes it clean and pure. Some people are so possessed by money, they're liars, they're cheats, they're stealers. Same thing with impoverished people. Same thing. And then the second thing that wisdom comes through is peaceableness. It brings harmonious relationships or fellowships. It's agreeable. It's like-mindedness. It brings a peaceful environment around your life. And how many of you do not have a peaceful environment around your life because of the issue of money? Because it ain't God's problem. It's His wisdom not working in your heart. It literally means an environment to your soul. In the natural and spiritual are in agreement with each other. When God puts money into your life, your natural mind and your spiritual mind, they're flowing together in harmony, in agreement. That's what peaceableness comes from, with wisdom. This third thing that wisdom brings, it's gentle. It's forbearing. It comes upon you in fairness. It's equitable. It's fitting. It's appropriate. It's suitable for you. It's proper. It literally means to be lenient with you, unassertive, mindful of your tolerance and meekness. It has meekness with it. That's what it means when the wisdom of God comes. It's gentle to you. It's lenient for you. Because God wants to keep leading you, not drive you like the wrong kind of teaching is. They drive you into something. Come, follow me. Come. I tell you, I know what I'm talking about. Another way that it comes, the fourth way, it's easy to be entreated. There are a lot of people who give into the kingdom of God in bitterness because some minister told them if they didn't do it, they're in trouble. Listen, the wisdom of God is easy to be entreated. It's compliant. It is a donating of easiness. It's easily persuadable to your mind. Your mind will easily conform to it. It'll persuade you. It won't sit there and twist your arm. Give out of necessity. Oh, if you don't. Oh, the fifth way that the wisdom of God comes is full of mercy. Compassion. It comes special and immediate regard to the misery of one's state or condition. That's what God's wisdom is available to do for you. If you are in a state or a condition that is miserable, God's intent for His wisdom has come to you quickly to remove you from that state. Ooh. Well, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I know what you're doing wrong. Well, what am I doing wrong? You got earplugs. You need to pull them out and listen to God. Good fruits Oh, what is good fruits? What is it? Well, the wisdom of God comes with good fruits. Oh, are you ready? It's benevolent, profitable, useful, the works and conduct of something that is beautiful. When you get around people that have the wisdom of God flowing in the area of finances, they are good to be around. They're benevolent to you. My son is that way, Tim. I love him so much. He hears a person's need. Right away his mind goes to thinking how he can meet it. Man gives away more money. I don't know. He just has a heart for people. I hope he never loses that. But I'm going to tell you something. The wisdom of God will work in your heart to where you will be benevolent and profitable with people. People will want to be around you because you're a blessing. You're a blessing to them every time they're around you. Maybe not with me. How many of you have been around somebody and they turn to you and say, you know, God just spoke to me and told me to give you $20? Mm-hmm. I'll bear witness with that, brother. See, most people only think negatively. Some people will get around other people and throw out little hints. I'm broke. I need help. I'm this. I'm that. And all they're doing is pulling the con game money, trying to get money out of you. Because they have a poverty mentality. I don't let my body. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 9 when he was talking about the tithe. He said, one thing I'm very careful with in money. I'm through the issues of money. And he said, I'm going to tell you what. I become all things all men. He was talking about the issue of money. Because money is an issue in any nation you go to. Why? The devil's there. And Paul says, here's how I become all things to all men, that I've learned how not to bring an offense in the area of money. I beat my body black and blue. I control it. I do not allow it to control me. When it comes to the issue of money, your body wants control. Why? It wants comfortableness. It wants all that the wisdom of God brings, but he wants to do it on his own. He thinks if he can get enough money, he can finally rest and have peace. Oh, you fool, you. The minute you sit back, you can be like the guy that built his barns. Oh, I've finally reached my epitome. There's an uncertainty to wealth that, shoo, it'll come and go. Quicker than you can blink your eye. And I do see God doing something with the body of Christ to bless it. But I also want to encourage all of you, when the blessings come, whatever you do, make sure you've got the wisdom of God to flow with it. Because he will put into your heart what is needful for you to protect the wealth of the blessing that he has given you. That's the way God is. Now, good fruits. Are you ready? The last two important ones, I'm going to let you go. Without partiality, being free from partial regard, making no distinctions, to show no favorites. Some people won't help people simply because they haven't heard it from God. They show partiality in their own heart towards that person. And I've done it myself. I told God, I said, I hope that I never get anything here again. He was doing it, kid, and get champion pig. I'm a pastor. I know they got to take their responsibility. I ain't ever helping them again. Well, you know what God will do with something like that? Kick back and fold his arms and kind of smile. And what happens is you come around that guy again. You'll come around the same guy again. And God will say, see so-and-so? Yeah, what about him? I've got somebody that's going to bless him. Well, good for you, God. You know what good for you is? It's me. And God will tell me to give the guy something. What? Okay, I don't understand it. But you got to remember, where he's seated, he has a better view than you do. And the last one, without hypocrisy. There's more hypocritical stuff to money than anybody else. That's true, isn't it? Everybody hides. And then when somebody has a need, well, I can't help you. And here you're sitting there with a boatload of cash. I thank God for Carol when it comes to money. I've given up on certain issues and certain things and certain people, and Carol will come along and say, Pastor Butler. And then she'll give her input to a situation and I'll go with it. Why? Because I got to step outside myself and let somebody else help guide me in an area when it comes to finances. Sometimes you just have to do that. How many of you ever found that? In your own marriage, you know, maybe the husband will be real strong against not doing something, and your wife will come along and say, well, you're going to do it. And that's authority enough. Did you guys get something here today? Wisdom of God comes through those eight channels. So if you want to get your Bible, it's James chapter 3, verse 17. Those 8 points there, that's how the wisdom of God comes. And especially, he's pointing there to the issue of money. Hallelujah. To the issue of money. Hallelujah. 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 Did you guys get something here today? Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. 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 I feel led to share with my body. John Cook is going to be doing teaching on end time things tonight, starting tonight. We're going to do Sunday evenings on the prophetic. John has really labored over the word just to bring you this. And so he's going to be the main teacher Sunday evenings on end time things. He's broken a lot of fresh insight, new revelations, really good. So I want to encourage all of you to, if you can, be here. He's got some wonderful things to share with you. And I've been praying about some things that the Lord's putting in my heart, what's up ahead for the church. Every once in a while, I'll feel that pulling that way, and I've never really missed it when God finally settles it in my heart. But I do feel led to share one thing with you. Whatever you do this year, starting this year, not next year, this year, whatever you do, do everything you can to bring your stewardship in line. People, the time is short. It really is. So the Lord wanted me to tell you, until He unfolds some other things that He's trying to get across to me. I don't know what they are, but He will share them. But the Lord told me to share this with you. Starting this year, right now, every decision you make, do it in light of the stewardship of your ability. Don't take any chances this year. Don't step out again and make any long-term investments or anything like that. Just at the beginning of this year, and we just passed the beginning of it, but this year, do everything in light of your stewardship. If you can't afford it, don't buy it. Are you following me? Just make sure that you exalt yourself from too much credit, and make sure that if you use credit, you can pay it back. But watch your stewardship this year. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. Because I don't know what's up ahead, and the Lord hasn't revealed that to me yet. But I do know that you have to be wise in your stewardship. Make sure that you balance your checkbooks. And make sure that you're watching over your finances closely. And any small debt, get it paid off quickly. Own everything that you can own as much as possible. Do this. It's important this year. Now, like I said, I don't know what... I know people try to talk things into me, but I shut them off and just get with the Holy Ghost and pray in tongues. Because there's no... I'm not looking for an advantage over everyone. But I do want the mind of God for our body. Because I want you guys coming out really smelling like a rose when hard times come. And I feel hard times are not over yet. I mean, have you seen some of those people over there in Japan, just look on their faces in the bewilderment, in the disaster, and the overwhelmingness of it. And boy, you think Japan's got it bad. I don't think we're through yet. Praise God. Praise God. Father, everybody stand up. Father, I thank you for your wonderful people. I thank you for the blessings that you put over their life. Father, most of all, I thank you for the Word of God that you give us. So wonderful. I thank you for your love and mercy and grace that you have for your people. And Father, if anybody does spite to the dispensation of grace, they're accountable for that. But Father, I'm accountable to amplify your love to your people. And so, Father, may they get a hold of you and know you and go with you in Jesus' name. With that said, with every head bowed, today you've never given your heart and life to Jesus. We want to open that avenue up for you. We want to open that avenue up for you to receive Jesus. If you've received Jesus but you want to restore your fellowship, we'll be here to minister to you. If you need prayer for healing or whatever, we have John Too Close who will be available to pray.